Blink from Blink on Crime is going to join us in a couple of minutes to talk more about Jennifer Kesey, a case that they've been covering for a number of years now. And there is some breaking news. Some of you will better be sitting down because there are some ties into some other high-profile cases. And you're going to be shocked. Never shocked when Blink comes on the program, because if there was anyone that's going to follow a case from front to end, and it's going to be her. So we'll be right back here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Okay, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. My name is Dana Pretzer. Of course, our sister blog, Blink on Crime, has been covering crime stories from stem to stern, as they like to say in the Navy, from beginning to finale. And a case that we've all been covering is the Kesey case. I started doing this talk show thing in 1997, and I've covered a lot of stories. But I tell you, Blink, this is one story that I sure want to see some answers to, because I feel like, you know, that family, Drew and Joyce and the others, are part of me now, and you guys have been doing great work over there, and you've got some updates.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. You're exactly right. There's just certain cases that catch you when they, you know, in your career and stay with you, and you want to see solved, which we all do, but this is particularly gripping, especially when you see from the updated piece, it seems like there is, you know, this was low-hanging fruit, so to speak, and was overcomplicated by mistakes and errors early in the investigation. I struggle with highlighting that sometimes because, let's be honest, I mean, I have to work with law enforcement in a lot of the work that I do. So to call out, you know, detectives that were clearly, you know, I underscore with a capital N, negligent in this investigation, and I would go as far to say they've absolutely hindered it. It's just outrageous. You know, they literally were almost responsible for, you know, derailing the prosecution of a case that to this day haunts me, Jessica Lunsford's murder. Could you even imagine looking at Mark Lunsford and saying, geez, I'm really sorry, we're not going to be able to prosecute, you know, John Cooey because we took it upon ourselves to interview him and, you know, now nothing's admissible.
Yeah. And, you know, I interviewed Mark Lunsford right after that came out, where the confession was talked about being thrown out. Yet he is such a strong person, and like most crime victims' families are, he wanted to go on and talk more about how to prevent things like what happened to his daughter Jessica from happening to others. But sure. I gotta admit this, Blink. When I read the update, and of course go to blinkoncrime.com to get the latest information on the Kesey case, I got peed off reading it. Not at you, because you guys do great work, but at these sloppy, lazy, incompetent detectives, and those are my words, because this is a case that should have been handled and handled properly. So I'm gonna throw you the ball now, and let's go through this a bit.
Well, they're what I would call, I like to use the term road, which is actually retired on active duty.
Yeah.
that's what they were. And I also think that there is a bit of that, you know, I've been a detective for 25 years, you're not going to tell me this, that, or the other thing. And once they were kind of molded to their strategy,
sure,
that was it. And, you know, not to focus on what went wrong, because even though we are, you know, you heard Drew say yourself that he feels strongly that the best opportunity to solve Jennifer's case is really right now.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, I want to follow, you know, his, Joyce, and Logan's lead in regards to what they need to, you know, want to present and put out there and in order to maintain their own stamina. So when we look at, you know, the update of the case, we have to talk about what's wrong, because in my opinion, you had detectives starting over, and you really have to, you know, one of the things in any case, sometimes people make mistakes, sometimes detectives make poor decisions, and that could be, you know, based on a variety of reasons. But I do know that in Florida especially, the Kesey Anthony case and the outcome of that case with her acquittal has absolutely presented an issue with prosecutors being gun-shy.
Yep.
And I don't, you know, nobody's going to say that out loud, but I'm going to, because I know it's true.
Yep.
They don't want to be in that situation. And it really only feeds the beast of the, you know, that CSI mentality. You know, basically, if you don't have a videotape of a crime being committed, you know, good luck getting a jury to, you know, convict anybody. I don't believe that is true. I think that it's a little bit of, you know, I don't know, I never got spanked as a child, but if you did, you know, you kind of remember it for a while.
Sure.
It hurt.
Right.
I probably should have been. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's just, it's a fairly new sting, and I hope that it'll kind of level out. But it's a real thing. And when you have a case, I've said this before, when you have a case that has had errors, people have admitted there were errors. I mean, Joel Wright, who was one of the original, as you read, was one of the original detectives, he's on airport duty. He's driving around airports all day long. And with respect to the security of airports, I'm pretty sure that's not what he would want to do. But in terms of update, there's some really big things going on. And again, it just has to do with sitting down, going over the information, and connecting dots. And I'm proud of our team for doing that. But I have to again go back to, you know, the Kessies, and to go back to the, you know, the unnamed individuals that we are working with inside this investigation, who are trusting us with this information to get us where we need to be.
Right.
We feel strongly that Jennifer's pepper spray, which she kept a mail key on, which matches the mail key that, if you have seen on my site, there is a picture of the inside of the console of her car matches. We have also been able, through our sources, to match the, you know, extraneous mailbox key that was the same mailbox number she was assigned to, and they're identical. I did not publish the pictures because, frankly, these are security keys,
right,
meaning there's a number on there, which prohibits anybody from duplicating it. And I had a concern that, you know, somebody with me, with access, you know, might get some ideas. I didn't want that to happen. But, you know, 2 years later, we have a dubious advent couple that is walking their dog and pick this up and go, you know what? I wonder if this is Jennifer Kessie's, which is kind of amazing because it was in the same time frame as when Kaylee Anthony was found.
Yep, exactly.
So you have vigilant folks, but made a connection, if you will, and I believe in that. And as it turns out, it's our opinion, our strong opinion, that they were right. And again, it was, you know, asking the right questions. What does that mean? You know, I'll tell you what it means is that it's a lead, and it's in the opposite direction of where Jennifer alleged her condo. I mean, it's miles and miles away from where she was. That's a lead.
Yep. If you're just tuning in, Blink from Blink on Crime is here, and I'm actually, I am paying attention. I'm reading the article as you're talking, and I'm trying to pick little pieces out here. Leads are so important, but it looks like in the first 2 years, the leads were ignored. Is that a harsh term?
Here's what I think. I don't think that the first detectives, let me say it back up, they did a terrible mistake in not releasing the suspect parking her car. Pardon my French, that was just a bull chit move.
Yep.
Just was.
Yep.
There was no way to ascertain if Jennifer was being held against her will. For all they knew, she could have been in one of those, you know, Huntington on the Green apartments, 25 yards from her vehicle. They didn't know that. As we all know in investigative work, the best recollection of the first witnesses is critical. And they didn't take advantage of that at all. I've seen it in writing. I know that was their position. You know, as long as I'm the lead detective in this case, we won't release this footage. And I'm thinking, this isn't like an alien abduction that's questionable.
Exactly.
It's her car. So with regard to that, But it's hard to say because I now know in retrospect from having interviewed lots of folks, I think that they might have asked some of the right questions of some of the right people, but because they took all the files and made everybody start over, it was useless. And I think then when those detectives come on board, in the back of their mind is always, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to sit, if we prosecute someone, I'm going to have to sit on a witness stand and answer for that, things that I, you know, wasn't responsible for. And what we learned, especially in Casey's case, you see detectives that have had, you know, 25 years of, you know, fantastic non-blemished track records, you know, being lambasted by a $150 an hour attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That's just reality. So we have to kind of, I feel a bit for them in that regard. But you can't really shoot at the system. You have to really focus on your case. So it was a big mess. It continues to be a big mess because I really just want somebody to say, you know, we effed up and here's what happened. This is why we're behind the eight ball. Or as you read in my piece, it's possible that Jennifer's case is relative to a federal inquiry, a federal investigation that has to do with associates that she knew. The gentleman who last had an argument with her, if we drill this all down, and I apologize in advance to everybody for 4,000 words in a piece. Hopefully you got a Fresca or a coffee or something before you read it, and maybe even came back to it. But I didn't feel that I could break that up into you know, chapters or you know, part one and two, because I felt like it was that overwhelming. It was that hit in your face. And I wanted that for readers because it should make you angry. It should compel you to action. And it should make you think about some of the things that have never been brought to light. And that is in Jennifer's case. And as much as I, you know, Dana, the last thing I want to talk about is the C word. I really don't. I take no joy in that. In fact, when we found these associations, if you recall, I think we did a year-end show, and I said to you at the very last sentence, well, you know, we're covering the Kessie case, and I think you're going to be shocked at some of the, you know, associations that may lead back to the Casey Anthony case.
Yep.
And I think people thought, well, you know, maybe she's, you know, taking a Google class or drinking her Google juice, but we knew then that what we had was really unbelievable, but real.
And what the folks need to do is go to blinkoncrime.com and read it, because if you don't get mad and you're not shocked by reading this, I don't know what you'll be able to do. Blink, when you see this story, and we're going to follow this one till I fall out of my chair and they got to carry me out of here, because I'm not going to give up on this, and I know you won't. And we brought this to Drew Kessie last time he was on, and you talked about it here a while ago, that the case is solvable. How closer are we now?
We're closer than we've ever been. And I say that in advancement of our last conversation.
Yep.
We're closer today than we were the last time we had a conversation. We're closer today than we were yesterday. I'm limited in what I can say some of the activities that are going on, but there is reason to believe there are some going on in some of the weeks. And there are some things that I can't always put in print, but I can tell you that there is more investigative work on this case than I'm at liberty to disclose because of the judicial process. And I'll give a hypothetical. Say, for instance, we're talking about either an investigative subpoena or a grand jury.
Yep.
If there were those things in this case, I would not be able to say that as a matter of fact, but I would be very surprised that there were not. And those are good signs. I also think that with the information that we've been able to develop and piece together, it's clear that there's multiple avenues of what I'll call exhaustion. There's some really bad people that are associated with the last people last person in people of an individual that had an argument with a missing woman. Public argument. That just needs to be excluded.
Yep.
I'm not suggesting that every person that has an article, that has an argument with somebody that goes missing, is guilty of anything. What I'm suggesting is there's a reason why, bad folks hang out with bad folks. And that's in general so that nobody says that the other one is bad and they can just do what they do without any interruption.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it just makes your heart sick to read it. But it makes you proud to see that the work that you've done. We've got about 30 seconds left. What will we expect to see soon on this case?
Well, I'll share with you a part of my conversation with Drew, because I had to speak to him about my thoughts and our analysis and findings based on the pepper spray key combination that was Jennifer's. And part of that came from, as I said, we don't always talk about how we get there, in our findings, but I'm going to say it was a straight 2 weeks of working on analysis and a broken key that was found. I was able to determine through video and photographs of Jennifer's place that, frankly, law enforcement thought was taken after she went missing. And really, I just put it through what's called an XF data, where I'm able to extrapolate the properties of some of those images. And how we got there was, I saw a pepper spray on her divanza, the credenza that she had in the front of the room with the date, and was able to say that can't be missing because they recovered it. So I had to call Drew and I had to say, I want to give you a heads up on what I found. And he was like, oh my God. You know what? I said, I hate calling you with this kind of news. I really am. It's disheartening. You know what he said to me? You need to call me with the worst of news, and then the worst of news will be that we find her and we can do what we need to do.
Right.
And when I hear that, I mean, to me, that's a marching order.
Yep.
He's telling me you got to get to work. And so that's what we do. There's really not a lot of, what if, coulda, shoulda, woulda, that kind of thing. I'm determined. If Jennifer's findable, we're going to find her. And that's a big commitment to make. Another thing I want to impart is, another conversation we had is, frankly, the Kesseys don't care what happened to Jennifer. They don't. And not in the sense that they don't, what's the word I'm looking for? Not in the sense they don't care. They just are not focused on a prosecution or an arrest. They want their daughter home.
Sure.
They want to recover her, and they want to know that, as any parent would, that she's in their way safe and back in the fold, so to speak. So for them, I want to say nobody cares about that from that perspective. And frankly, if somebody has information, there's two ways to look at this. There's not only, local law enforcement, Orlando Police Department, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FBI, and that's a big deal to be looking at this case. But now when you attach, Peter Benavides, and how many times he's been arrested, and the fact that he's currently, when I say at all, I'm talking 100 other people, are under federal investigation by four different federal agencies. That's the U.S. Treasury, that's the Secret Service, that's the FBI, that's the DEA. They're going to find out who's responsible. Somebody's going to talk. So I just want to implore anyone that understands the difference between the potential of, spending some time, if necessary, incarcerated, as opposed to, a murder conviction.
Exactly.
They're different.
Yep. No, they are. They are, and when you try to solve a crime, of course, it's connecting the dots there, kiddo, and you know better than anyone about connecting the dots, and you guys are doing a great job. It's blinkoncrime.com for an update on the Kesse case. Like Link says, get a Fresca or coffee or something, sit down or read it. Read it twice. In fact, I'm reading it three times, and follow the trail here, because it's an important one, and we got to do what we can for the Kesse family. Last word to you, Blake.
We do, and thank you so much. My sincere appreciation for the advocacy for Jennifer and for her family, for all the cases that we work on, Hate of the Monkeys, and also keep at it. You know, we put out what we can put out, but I do expect to, you know, the true advocates out there to add their, you know, two cents if they will. So thank you for that.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You too. Be well.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Blink from Blink on Crime. The Kesey case I've followed from before. I even came to Scared Monkeys. Drew Kesey and I did shows on his missing daughter, and this is something that needs to be solved. That's it. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. You can check out our webpage at scaredmonkeysradio.com to pick up live feeds of the show, of course, podcasts of past shows, daily commentaries, whatever suits your little heart. I'm Dana Pretzer. We'll see you again real soon here on The Dana Pretzer Show. Good night.
You've been listening to The Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guests' websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.